regular starting time. Let us begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We praise you most of all for Jesus Christ and for feeding us, our souls. We pray that you will prepare us for worship here later this morning, and that you will use this knowledge about the book of Judges for our good, that we may understand thy word better, that we may be able to apply it to our lives more diligently. Help us, O Father, to be ever diligent searching thy scriptures. We pray you will use this Sabbath school unto that end. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a couple of things. For those of you who came in and I perhaps gave you a bulletin, I forgot to give you the handout for the book of Judges. And so you'll see the book of Judges handout is a one-pager sitting on. Yeah, if you could bring some along and hand them out, I would appreciate that, Misty. And for you children, you can make sure you have your books with you, your Bible outline books. As you grab them, you'll notice that we're going to be covering Judges in total here today. So you want to make sure you have that here, and you have the Old Testament noted, and you have written at the top the book of Judges. For the adults, they've been given a catechism question. They've been given the outline of the book of Judges in general form, and also the theme of the book itself. And children, we're going to go into a little bit more detail with yours, okay? And so we're going to look at the book of Judges, and we're going to consider its author, time period, its chapters, and its central theme. So make sure that you're ready to go with those resources. The book of Judges, who is it written by? Although we're not given in the book itself the distinct author, it is upon good and necessary consequence that we can say that it was written by Samuel. And the reason why we can gather that from the scriptures is because of the fact that in Acts 3, after Moses, Samuel is reckoned the first prophet. And so let us go and read that, Acts 3, chapter 3, and verses 22 to 25. And let's see the way the Holy Spirit describes the prophets at this time. He says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever ye shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." And that goes on from there. So notice that Samuel is the next principal prophet. And this follows in the scriptures as well. You have Joshua as a general, and in some sense as a prophet as well. But you don't have him listed as principal. You have Samuel. And therefore, it's concluded that Samuel would have most likely been the author. Some people say, well, maybe perhaps Samuel was part of this gathering of the judges and its stories, but that Ezra was the one which finalized it. And this would be fine because Ezra is a prophet, if that's exactly what happened. But for you children, you can put in the author box, you can put an inspired prophet, and you can put like Samuel, okay? And that would be true all around. And you would know that you have not only good deduction from Acts 3 that it's Samuel, but also the history of the church testifies to it as well. The time period is, we're not sure from the conquering of Joshua to the rest that happens with the first judge, Othniel. We're not sure the exact time frame. We know it has to be at least 8 years. But we do know from Othniel to Saul, we have 288 years. So the book of Judges is going to be a time period that is going to be about 300 years. Okay, 288 plus 8 at least. So we're talking about 296. Okay, 296 years at least is that time period. And that brings us straight to Saul. Saul was a king which ruled in the 1000s B.C., And if you take Joshua's conquering in the 1300s B.C., and you take 288, right, you're getting right to where we know that we should be. And we know with a certainty the date of such as the building of the temple, so in the 900s. And so we know, and that's in the days of Solomon. So we know that this is right. We're in the ballpark for that time period. So if you want to put the time period either as 296, at least, you can put that swivel that is about. Or you can say from the 1300s BC to the 1000s BC. That would be the appropriate time period. Children, make sure you put that there's 21 chapters in the book of Judges. And I recommend, and there's enough if you children wanted to get an adult handout, there's a Bible knowledge catechism question that I put in there. I was hoping that you would use that, children, to get the important people, because God, of course, is highlighting the judges, 13 of them in all. And so I've listed them there in the order that they're found in the book of Judges, from Othniel all the way down to Samson, which is the last in the 13th. I put Deborah and Barak together. I did that because they acted together in the office of judge. And also Barak was shameful in not taking up, even Deborah called him out for not taking up the office, but instead giving it almost over into Deborah's hands. And Deborah called him out for that, but continued in her calling there as prophetess. And so I put them together for four. So some people might say 14 if they put Deborah and Barak separate. Okay, but I don't think that's accurate to the text. That's why I put them together. So 13 judges in all. And children, you should take mom and dad, or take and get your own adult handout, and write these 13 judges in your important people. And we're going to see in the theme, which I will share with you soon, why it is that these judges are important. God made them important, not because they're important in and of themselves. And I'm hoping to show this to you through the outline. So if you are an adult with us, you can look at your outline. And if you're a child, go to the basic outline portion of your book. And I'm going to give you the three main portions of this book. And in doing that, I'm hoping that I will bring out something before you. And that is the Holy Spirit's purpose for giving us today the book of Judges. So, I've told you a lot about covenant keeping, as Joshua so clearly laid it before us, with the Gibeonite covenant, with the covenant which existed between the people of God and God himself, that flowed from Deuteronomy into the book of Joshua, it being renewed by Joshua himself. Now we have the book of Judges, starting off with the history of covenant keeping and breaking. All right, so children, you should write section one of the book of Judges, right? The history of covenant keeping and breaking, from chapter 1 to chapter 3 and verse 7. I'm going to say that one more time for you children who are writing this down. You should put section 1 is the history of covenant keeping and breaking. Chapters 1 to chapters 3, verse 7. And this is a narration of from Joshua and then his death to the first judges. So that gap that exists from the death of Joshua and the elders that were with Joshua when they died, and then up into the first judge. That gap between Joshua and the first judges, you see your own heart. You keep covenant. You break covenant. And that's exactly what is showed before us today, is the people of God as covenant keepers and as covenant breakers. They do repent in this for their disobedience in chapter 2. And it shows us also, therefore, corporate repentance. Judges is a book that can teach us things that are so basic to us as a church here today. That's the first section, and it's so important. Second section, children, I want you to put section 2. Okay, section 2 is the history of the six oppressions of the people of God. And this is the time of the judges. You got oppression, and then you got God bringing the judge. You have oppression by the enemies of God. God brings a judge. Oppression, and you have this cycle of six. Of course, the seventh is the Lord Jesus. The six oppressions are found as the most meaty part of the book. Of course, it's called the book of Judges for this reason. And it is from chapters 3, verse 8. To chapter 16, verse 31. And say that again, children. Make sure you're writing this down. The history of the six oppressions. This is from chapter 3, verse 8. To 16, verse 31. This is the second part of the book of Judges. The third part, if you children are ready, the third part is a lesser part, but such an important part. It acts like a bookend. The beginning, 1 to 3, is one bookend showing who the people of God are as covenant keepers and breakers. And then you got this other bookend at the end of the book, which is showing the very same thing, but it's aiming upon their heart. It's showing examples of covenant breaking to show you the heart of man and even the heart of the people of God. Though they be converted, yet still the heart remains with this indwelling sin that continues its factory work of idolatry. And so, children, this is what I want you to write for the third section. That the chapters 17 to 21, which is the end of the book now, the last and third section, it's two examples of the corruption of the people of God. Two examples of the corruption of the people of God. I wonder if it would be more consistent to say two examples of covenant breaking. Two examples of covenant breaking. Both of them center upon idolatry. Both of them are about idolatry. The idolatry of Micah, the idolatry of the Gibeonites and the whoredom that are there, which, by the way, leads to what Saul does against them, breaking the covenant, which we talked about last week. So this is the three sections. It's two small sections and then a big section in the middle. What you're going to see is, who are the judges? Who does the Holy Spirit say the judges are? And what you see is they're not all the same. There's some distinction between, some of them are like generals, they're like another Joshua. They're like almost kings in some ways. They're not kings, but they're like a tribal king in some ways. One of them, Gideon, even was the people were prodding him to become king, and he refused it. And then you had some which were like prophets, and they would prophesy to the people. Not every one of the judges now, not every one of them were miracle workers. You children are most familiar with the stories about Samson, right? How he gets really strong and he kills a whole bunch of Philistines, or he ties fox tails together and takes out their crops, or he pushes pillars that no man could push except by the power of God. These things are not necessarily common amongst the judges. But you can see how the offices of the mediator, each and every one of them, display a portion of it to us. We see, this one's kind of like a prophet. The way he prophesies and he shows the people that they should fight or they should not fight. They should subjugate themselves or they should rebel. and God delivers them in that obedience to that word given. It's a prophet type. You have some like Gideon that go and, like a general, destroy whole armies of the enemies of God. That's like a king. And then, of course, you have some like Samuel, who is a judge as well, when you read on past Judges, who is like a priest. And you see that in Jephthah and some of the others in the book of Judges. And so you have each and every one of these judges, and they're like prophets or priests or kings, but many of them, not all of them, but many of them are always part of the deliverances of the oppression which has come upon God's people. And the question is, they had rest with Joshua, they had rest up through his death, they had rest up and through the elders that were with Joshua, living with him. They had rest. But then the last elder dies that was with Joshua. And there's covenant breaking. And there's unfaithfulness. And the oppression start after that. And Judges tells us why. Because God sent the oppressions. These oppressions are happening as part of the promises which God made to his people, that if they don't keep covenant, he's going to correct them because he loves them. And each and every oppression that comes from the hand of God and the threatening of the covenant, God gives them a glimpse of what he's going to do in the covenant of grace. He gives the judges, several of them, which deliver from these oppressions, kind of like a savior type status. And that's what makes Gideon, for example, so great among the people that they want to make him king. Does that remind you of anyone else, kids? Who else were the people saying, Hosanna in the highest, and is taking our king to Jerusalem on the back of an ass? Yes, Jesus, right? Gideon is a type of savior, but doesn't even come close to the true Savior. And that's the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book, children, I've made it nice and long and detailed for your parents, but for you, I'm going to make it more concise. You ready for the central theme of the book? Here's the central theme. The judges are types of saviors, pointing to Jesus Christ. Children, that is a good central theme. And as you read it as a child, you should be thinking, how is Othniel like Christ? How is Ehud like Christ? How is Shamgar like Christ? And how are they not? You see, types are very important for you to understand, children. God gives you types because they are much like the one to come, but they're much not like him as well. And so as you're reading Judges, in each and every one of these individuals, you should be thinking, how are they like our Savior? And how are they not like our Savior? And in having a knowledge of how they fall short of the glory of Jesus Christ, and how they hint at, like in a dark glass, of the glory of Jesus Christ, so you get to know him better. This strengthens the church. It strengthens the church because it shows us how God will work with us, his church, if we corporately repent. It shows us how he will work with us when we covenant and we break it. We will be oppressed. Do you think it's just because of politics that Christianity is being oppressed in this country and oppressed in Canada? And oppressed in the Western world? No. It's because we're covenant breakers. The church is the problem. And Judges shows us this. It was the problem in the days of Judges. And it ends with this very particular and heart-rending truth. The people did whatsoever was right in their own. Is that not the problem with the American church today? She does whatsoever in worship, whatsoever in their lives, whatsoever on the Sabbath is right in their own eyes, with very little, if any, concern for what God is pleased with, what God says is right. And so this is repeated several times in the Judges. It's repeated in 17:6. It's repeated 18:1, that this is a central theme in the book of Judges, that you have the people and God's dealing with them, just like he will deal with them ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ, who will free them from their oppressions in the freedom of Christ, where they can follow the law of God, pleasing their Savior, who has given to them a perfect righteousness which pleases the Father. And so the book of Judges has that central theme. Children, I've given you the author time period chapters. I've given you the central theme. I've asked you to look at the important people off of your mom and dad's handout. And we haven't really done too much about the important places. And so, you know, I do want to make sure that I give you a couple of those before we end. You'll find that each and every one of these six oppressions, they deal with a distinct enemy of God who were not destroyed in the days of Joshua in the land of promise. So you have this land of Canaan in which they are, which is an important place. And you have the lands of the enemies of God. And these are ones that I'm not going to give you in total, but some of the ones which are big in the book, okay? One is Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia. This is part of the first oppression by the king of Mesopotamia, Shushan. The other is the land of the Moabites, or the land of Moab. This is on the east side of Jordan. And they were a grievous enemy of the people of God. The other was Assyria. You need to know Assyria, for it is in this wonderful book of Judges, such cool stories in this book, where you have Sisera and a peg put through his skull by a valiant woman of the faith. You have Midian, the land of Midian, which is important. You have the land of Philistia, the Philistines, which Samson delivered the people of God from. You had the land of Jotham, which plays an important part during the oppressions. So these are important places. And for you children, I recommend that you read through the book of Judges, and you note each of the six oppressors, and in noting them, note the places. And that's where you can add to this on your own time. I've given you those few for you to have some of that filled out. And so I hope that you have been given an overview of the book of Judges that points you to your Savior, Jesus Christ, because that's why the Holy Spirit gave it to us. And I hope it also prepares you for looking towards this same Savior as we go into worship here in about 15 minutes or so. And so let us end now with prayer. And then we will have a break and enjoy fellowship before we enter into worship together. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that you will be with those families who are still on their way, and that you will bless them and bring them unto us and ready their hearts for worship this morning. We thank you for your love unto us, and we pray that you will richly bless us and feed us by thy hand of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so do this by thy Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.